From the studios at the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, this is Intentional Living. Welcome. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, conference speaker and coach, husband and father, best-selling author, and your advocate for the family. It's a parenting day, and it's open phones. So whether you've got toddlers or teens, adult children or grandkids, if you've got a question, give Dr. Randy a call. It's toll-free, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. You know, the Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord, and blessed is the man who has a quiver full. I suppose in modern times, it's a minivan full, I suppose. But, you know, they are a blessing having kids. My wife and I, we have three kids, and watching them grow up and now having grandchildren, pretty special thing. But, you know, at the same time, a tremendous responsibility. And here's what I believe. As individuals, if you're a single parent, being the best parent you can be, if you're married, make that marriage work, be intentional in building that marriage, it gives security to those kids. You know, one of the things that we believe around here at the Intentional Living Center is we want to help you be successful, being intentional in your relationships, and today focusing on parenting. But I just want to mention, before we get into the heart of today's program and start taking callers here, that we go out on the road to teach the principles of intentional living in a fun setting. Starting this fall with the Love Your Marriage Night. It's a celebration for marriage for couples, and it's a date night. And I'm going to be focusing on the 10 love habits for successful couples, how to develop intimacy goals. What does that mean? How to develop intimacy physically, emotionally, spiritually, how to set goals, and what's the difference between a goal and an intentional goal, and how to really divorce-proof your marriage. Some of the things we're going to discuss in our Love Your Marriage Night is we're going to laugh and learn and celebrate marriage. If you don't have your tickets, get those today at theintentionallife.com.
I have 8 children, and I was working 2 jobs. Last year, 2010, I just couldn't do it anymore, not for my kids. So my one intentional thing, I did resign from my job that I had been at for 15 years, and that was quite the change for me. But that second job that I've been working at, I'm actually working less hours and making more money. My kids and my husband are much happier. It has made a huge impact. It has made a huge difference.
By being intentional, the thing that I try to do now as a parent, I try to see if there's an argument or something, where am I at fault in it, and what I can do to see their issue and my own issue. I always try to see where am I at fault in this, and try to look at myself a little bit in this area.
What I've been intentional about, which is praying with my children on our way to school. I started doing that when my daughter was in kindergarten. Now she's in 5th grade, and I have 2 more that are in school and 1 going to school next year. And it's so important to them, even if the day gets started off bad or in a hurry or in a rush, to always send them off on their way with prayer.
Our storyline's open to you 24 hours a day when you call 888-888-1717. We have Jeanette on the line today. Hi, Jeanette. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question for me?
Well, I have a 10-year-old son and an 11-year-old daughter. My husband has suffered with major depression for the past 3 years. It's been really bad. And with that, he hasn't worked much the past 2 years. And he would take his medicine wrong, you know, just wouldn't feel good. He would take more medicine. Well, here recently, the spells got really bad, and my daughter's respect for her father, he isn't disrespectful, but there is a bad disconnect. She would be okay living without him.
Oh, that's too bad. And I'm sure that hurts your heart, too.
It does, and yeah. I don't know. I want to do the right thing.
Well, there's probably many moving parts to this, Jeanette, so my comments will be very generic because obviously you need to be seeking real professional help with his physician and counseling and so on. But a couple general overview things from an intentional living perspective is whenever we got a problem, we shouldn't run from it. We need to address it. And if your husband, because of his depression, is finding it difficult to maintain his medication and following through with that, obviously, he's an adult, and you can't force him to do something, but that's something that should be discussed with he and you and the physician to talk about how to set up a program and why this medication is important and so on. Secondly, your daughters and son, both at 10 and 11, are old enough to understand about illness. And the more they can understand some of the basics about what dad is facing and the challenge that depression, which is an illness. If dad had cancer, you'd talk about cancer. If dad had, you know, diabetes, you talk about diabetes. If he broke a leg, you talk about that. I mean, and so when we get into depression or mental illness, sometimes we don't know what to say. And so being able to talk about it, it'd be wonderful if dad could be a part of that as well when he's feeling up to that. So your daughter understands it. But your husband needs to get some counseling. And if he sees this as a problem with his daughter, I would hope that he's talking to his physician and trying to see that he's got a responsibility for how he interacts with his children, no matter if he's depressed or not. He still has some responsibility here.
Right.
Is this something that he's talked to his doctor about, or is he aware of this challenge?
Yes, and we do try to talk to him about it, too, because I think it would be unfair to not, you know, make him aware. And, you know, and it almost just throws him even further down. He just looks down, and he just is, you know, because he feels so bad it's happening. Instead of taking the approach, let's change it, let's change tomorrow. And I know that's part of the depression, but for this long now, that's what my daughter's just like, enough's enough. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, you're the only one working, Mom. What does he do? Mm-hmm. Why is he taking more medicine when he knows he shouldn't? Which now we do have that, I lock it up in a safe
now. That's good. Well, she's asking questions. She's trying to sort this thing out, Jeanette, for herself. And those are probably questions you've asked, too, at times.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, she's 10 and she's not stupid. She's your daughter. She's smart. And she's asking these questions. And in life, let's face it, sometimes we don't have good answers.
Right.
Sometimes the best answer is we need to pray. Pray for dad. These are decisions that, you know, dad's making and he's struggling. And help your daughter, giving her some coping strategies, how she can pray for her dad, how she can have her own space, how she can show honor to her dad when she's frustrated. In other words, I think as you equip your daughter in a positive way toward her father, helping her see that as she's going to grow up someday and leave home, whatever memories she's making, however, whatever choices she's making now are the things she's going to live with for the rest of her life as well. So I think equipping her. But I'll tell you, you got to be careful, Jeanette, take care of yourself because you can get caught in the middle of this thing and you can come down. And so you've got to keep above it and keep a healthy and realistic perspective on what you're facing because mental illness in a family puts a lot of stress. So the more you can get counseling for yourself, the better as well.
And I have a question for that's happening right now is we've been to family counseling, you know, we've been to lots of counseling through all this journey. And my daughter she wants to go see a counselor because we are self-employed in a smaller town. And so everything's kind of hush hush. He doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want her to talk to family about it. And which they know what's going on, you know, but she feels like she can't talk to anybody. So she wants to go to a counselor.
Yeah.
And I've talked to my husband, you know, I'm like, she really wants to go to a counselor. You can, you know, if you want to decide this one, because they're the two that would know what's going on. He doesn't answer me. He just puts his head down and says, we'll talk later about this.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe what you need to do, Jeanette, is talk about the importance of this for your daughter and the security. I mean, obviously talking to a counselor, that's not going to be spread out all over town. But the fact that your daughter, for her own health, needs to be able to talk to someone, talk about her feelings, and maybe dad's silence is saying it's up to you. And maybe you need to be proactive in saying to dad that, listen, this is something I think is important, and, move forward unless he's indicating otherwise. And I don't know what your relationship is like with your husband, but for him to understand this is something important for her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you think he's just giving tacit support by not saying anything?
I do. I mean, everything's really distanced with everything that's going on, you know. And so that's what I've prayed about it. And she needs to talk to somebody other than me.
Yeah. Well, if that's the conviction of your heart, I think you need to talk to your husband and figure out how to be proactive in making that happen. Hey, listen, you know, this topic, when we think about the impact of mental illness in a family, sometimes it has a cloud over it different than a physical illness. Like I said, if you have a family member who has cancer, there's almost a rallying around the family and the patient and the person who's ill. If there's a crisis in the family in some other health-related area. But whenever it becomes a mental illness, I think many times we don't know how to respond because the essence sometimes of a person seems to be their mental state, how they can respond to us. And when a person's depressed, they can't respond the way we think they should. They if they could, they wouldn't be depressed. That's one of the symptoms. And when a person is bipolar or has some other diagnoses of mental illness, they're not going to respond in a, quote, normal way, the way that we think they should. And that's why those who love them that are around them sometimes need to be proactive in doing the best thing for the family, knowing that the person with the mental illness can't adequately respond or be involved even in that decision making. That's why good outside counsel is so important. And God bless every family member today who has a loved one who's struggling with depression. I've shared with you before, I went through a bout of depression. It was a really short term for just several weeks a number of years ago. I think we all have moods. We're up and down. But there was a period where I was sinking into this depression. And, you know, I'm doing the radio. I'm helping people. I'm speaking. And I'm going deeper and deeper. And it lasted for a period of time. Wasn't long, maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks, couple of months. And I had just a little taste of what some are facing, even much, much deeper than what I experienced. And my heart hurt, and it's more aware of what some of you are facing today in your families. It's a dark cloud that can overtake. And so those who are standing by, take care of yourself, make good, healthy decisions, and understand as much as you can about the disease process associated with depression. Appreciate your call, Jeanette. We'll be praying for you and for your family.
Hi, I decided to live intentionally with my daughter, intentionally not getting so frustrated and angry at her. It's been a really rough road with that. And thanks to your program, you guys have helped me a lot. My husband and I are far away from any family. We've been struggling with it. And thanks to your programs, every day that I listen to, I've been making a big difference in my life with my daughter and my husband. And thank you, and God bless you all.
Well, you're very welcome. Dawn is here, by the way, in the studio. Dawn, as we're listening to that testimony, I'm thinking, I feel at times like we're at a crossroad and people are passing by. You know, okay. We're just here to cheerlead and encourage you and say, hey, stay at it, or hey, maybe this is a thought you should have. Maybe this is a better direction for your life to pray about. We're all on this journey, but if we can help you be intentional, we really feel that that's what God has called us to do. And when we hear more and more stories coming in of people saying, I get it, I did it, my life is different, I'm growing spiritually, God is good, that makes my day. And we want to thank those who are standing with us to make this possible. I assume everybody knows what a member is, but the reality is we've got a lot of new listeners, Dawn.
Yeah,
maybe need to explain what a member is.
Well, someone who's a member of the Intentional Living Center is someone who commits on an ongoing basis to give an amount. And that's as simple as it is. It could be $30 a month. A lot of people do that. Could be $10 a month. Could be $100 a month. The amount is up to you, between you and your spouse or you and God. But really, it's the commitment that makes you a member. Mm-hmm. It sort of brings you in the fold. It makes you part of our tribe here at Intentional Living. And because Dr. Randy will send you his mentoring and coaching CD every month, it sort of helps you take your intentional life just a little bit deeper in Christ. And we want to come alongside you and do that too. So that's what a member is. And we hope that you will catch the vision, as so many others have, for becoming a member.
And if you're not, you can do that today, and your monthly support goes right into our listener-supported nonprofit ministry to keep us going with what God has called us to do. So someone says, I want to do this. How do they do it, Dawn?
Very easy. You can call us, 888-888-1717. Press number 4 to talk to someone in our ministry center during West Coast business hours, or you can go online, safe and secure, to theintentionallife.com. Again, it's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to an Intentional Living Open Phones Parenting Program with Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, so call now. 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. The five essentials for intentional living are faith, family, finances, health, and work. Any of those areas in your life need some work or some fixing? Then begin your 30-day challenge today. Lynn did. She said, I will read the intentional word every day for 20 minutes. So did Blanca. She said, I want to let go of my worries and control. I want to feel the freedom of letting God be in control and giving Him all my worries. So what's your one thing, your 30-day challenge? Tell us and we'll start praying for you. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Coming up, more questions for Dr. Randy. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
This has made a huge difference in our marriage.
To finally be on a budget. Wow.
My kids actually obey me now. Most of the time, anyway.
Whether for your small group or your personal journey, an Intentional Living Study Kit on CD or DVD can help you discover the peace, purpose, and health you're looking for. Each is developed by best-selling author and speaker Dr. Randy Carlson. To get you started, visit theintentionallife.com. Go to resources and click on the store link.
An intentional life in Christ can make all the difference.
After almost 3 years of offering relevant biblical advice on the radio, Dr. Randy Carlson has become a trusted voice in so many homes. Ideas on parenting, marriage, finance, and anything else life has in store. And now, you can access that helpful information in the palm of your hand when you download the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Audio and video clips on all sorts of subjects. Access to the daily radio program. You can even interact with others on the Intentional Living blog. Visit your app store and download it today. From the Intentional Living Center.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. Welcome back to Intentional Living Center. Intentional Living comes from, obviously, the word intentional. Right in the middle of the word intentional is the meaning, T-E-N. The letters T-E-N in the Latin mean to stretch. And you get the word tendon and others like extend and so on. And really, intentional is stretching towards something that matters, that makes a difference. And so we create on our website for you all things called the intentionals with emphasis on T-E-N. Not only 10, the number, but 10 to mean to stretch. And you can find out the intentionals today on parenting. They're there for you. Come on over to theintentionallife.com. And click on the broadcast highlights there. It'll be for you. Also, remember, we have a 30-day challenge. We have a free class, online class available to you, a course that you can take to help you decide on one thing for your life. Go check it out. Come to theintentionallife.com.
This is Steve Tanner with news to help your teenagers drive safely. 14 years ago, when he was 14 years old, Tyler Presnell, his brother and his sister, went for a ride with a trusted friend who just earned his driver's license. But the friend was showing off and crashed.
I was the only one in the car that really got messed up. I was on life support for a long time. I have a traumatic brain injury. I got fed through a tube that hung out of my stomach for quite some time. I had to relearn how to walk, how to talk. It was a hard road. It still is to this day, and that's why I do what I do.
Tyler's much better now, but he still lacks 80% of his short-term memory. Now he speaks to kids to urge them to drive carefully and avoid texting. He tells parents to make rules and enforce them.
Kids that have rules are half as likely to get into a crash. Get your kids involved in a defensive driving course. Some insurance companies offer discounts. Limit your child's texting and driving, or even prevent it. I know they're going to flip and they're going to say, no, but do it. You're the parent.
Tyler says parents should remind their teens that driving is not a right, it's a privilege. He says having the tough talks can improve relationships.
They may not like it, but deep down, psychologically, they're going to know that you care. And that's a beautiful thing.
Tyler says he used to wish every day that the wreck never happened, but now he's thankful that because of it, he's blessed to make a difference in so many lives. To get your copy of the Teen Driving Contract, check out the resources at today's broadcast highlights page at theintentionallife.com. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that from our Intentional Living News team today. Appreciate you joining us today here at the Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We love talking to you. If you ever have a question for us, something that you're facing that you'd like some practical perspective from the Intentional Living Center, you're welcome to call 888-888-1717. Let's go to Carmen on the line from Arizona. Hi, Carmen. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Appreciate your call. What's God been doing in your life that you'd like to share with us today?
I'd like to share, for the first time really, I've never officially shared my testimony. I would like to share about my situation with giving up my child for adoption when I was very young, when I was 15, and how God turned that around. So now I've met her. And
wow, so you were 15 and you were pregnant. You made a decision for life. Did you have pressure not to do that? Did you have pressure to abort?
I did have pressure to abort through my mother. I came from a very dysfunctional family, but God seemed that that was not going to be from in my life. I prayed at that time. I knew God from a very early age, even though I went a different way. I was not able to get an abortion. At that time, I didn't have the money. Otherwise, I might have because of the pressures.
Well, I'm sure
I feel like God seemed to it that it didn't happen. Then I was pressured to give her up for adoption, and which I did.
What was that like for you? What was your experience in giving your
That was a very traumatic time in my life, and in actuality, throughout my life, it's been a very, very hard, trying thing. But God has been with me throughout that experience, and I've felt him with me every day for the last 28 years. I knew she was in his hands.
Now, I understand you've had a chance to meet her.
I did. Last year, in August, I flew out to Rhode Island to meet her for the first time and her family.
What was that like?
There's no words. Just joy and healing. I mean, it was just, there's no words.
Have you been able to keep in touch since then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're working on a relationship. She is a beautiful girl. She loves God, and that was my main prayer throughout her lifespan, is God, if nothing else, just let her be loved and to know you. And I know she'll be okay, and that gave me peace. And I felt assurance in that, and sure enough, when I met her, she had a relationship with God, and she's pretty well-rounded.
Carmen, what's your view today when you think about adoption and adoptive parents and their role in raising this precious girl?
Yeah, the gift of life. I mean, she was meant to be. There was a reason for her, even though it was a trying and painful thing for me, I know God had a purpose and a meaning that maybe I didn't understand, but I just believe that, you know, aborting a child is not an option in light of God.
Well, this is the first time you've shared this. I mean, this is,
yeah.
What caused you to want to share it now?
I got to give God praise and glory and honor, because he has just came through with the whole situation. You know, the pain that I've experienced in getting pregnant so young, you know, the void that I've had in my life, it doesn't, how do I put this? It doesn't compare to the joy I have. The pain that I've had all these years does not compare to the joy that I have now in the end.
That's a great way of putting it. And, you know, I'm, and all of us here on our team are very much pro-life. We believe that God has set up the process of life, and we're pro-life. We believe in life, and we believe in adoption. And those families among us that have been affected by adoption, and we know the power of it, it's a biblical picture as well. You know, the Bible says to us that we have been adopted. We can read that in Ephesians, right at the beginning of Paul, as he begins to share in the book of Ephesians all the great blessings that we have. He talks about adoption, and adoption is a picture of God's love. He chose us. He cares for us. And the fact that there were adoptive parents who stepped in to raise this precious girl, and now to have a relationship and see that God has blessed your decision for life, is a beautiful thing, and it certainly is an intentional decision. And I appreciate you sharing it with us today, Carmen, and I hope you get some joy out of being able to share what God has done as a result of this, not only with us, but with others.
Yes, I do. Every chance I get, I want to give him honor. I mean, he just came through for me, always has. So it's beautiful to me. He's beautiful.
Thank you for sharing it with us, and God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Very much a story of life. We love that here at Intentional Living.
Hi, this is George Spear. He just counseled a lady that the little girl was throwing tantrums. The way I dealt with that when my little girl did that, I laid down on the carpet. I did everything she did, and I did that once, and she got up, stomped off to her bedroom. She did it later on, a few days later. I laid down on the carpet. I did everything that she did, kicked, screamed, picked my feet. She got up and went in the bedroom, never threw another tantrum. Have a good day. Love you. Bye.
I wonder what happened now. Well, now, if she came home today and threw a tantrum, would you still do the same thing? Good advice. Listen, you know what Dad was doing? He's saying, hey, I'm not going to take that hook. I'm not going to take that bait. I'm not going to, you know, get sucked into that. So often as parents, we pick the wrong battles, don't we? And looking back over the years, wisdom in picking your battles carefully. Today, talking parenting, how you doing? Remember, great resources available to you through the Intentional Living Center. Studies, small group studies for individual study or for small groups in your church. Books and other resources at theintentionallife.com.
Why do you love your marriage?
Because of my wife, and she's a gift from the Lord to me.
I think because I married my best friend, and I love being able to spend all the time that we get to spend together.
I like being able to share my life with somebody who loves me and cares for me.
Because my wife is a godly lady, and if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be going to heaven.
Wow, there's a powerful message, isn't it? But the reality is that God loves us, He saves us, and when we have people around us who encourage us and point us to Christ, it can be transformational. Today we're talking about parenting, and I close by reminding you that the greatest gift we can give to our kids is a home where they can meet Christ. And I would pray that that would be your intentional decision, the most important thing you're going to do as a parent. Hey, if you're married and you'd like to celebrate your marriage with a date night, maybe it's been a while since you've just celebrated your marriage, just together have a date night with other believers in a setting where you're going to be encouraged on the value of marriage. Well, it's our Love Your Marriage Date Nights coming to the Phoenix area and Tucson. Mesa, September 26th, Friday night. Glendale on Saturday, September 27th, just a month away. And then Tucson on Saturday, October 18th. A great celebration for your marriage. Get your tickets at theintentionallife.com. Tomorrow, questions on marriage.